passage of scripture is actually a model for prayer Jesus was trying to give to his disciples. And he was telling them how prayer functioned and the function of the church. So when he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven, he was telling them the function of the church. The function of the church is to take heaven's reality and make them real in the earth. And so we have to do that, but we can only do that when we have revelation of what we're called to, amen? So when God created the earth, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that God framed the world by his word. It says he framed the worlds. We know by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. This means there were multiple worlds. So God made the spirit realm and the natural realm. He made both of them speaking at the same time. This is a reality of God because when God speaks, he's talking to both realms. Even when God speaks in your life, he's not just talking to you. He's talking to the realm that has to respond to you. This is why when he said to Peter, come, the water had to respond to the command. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So when Jesus is talking, his words are operating in two worlds. So he framed the worlds by his words. Somebody say he framed the worlds. This means that God set the boundaries and the legal system of the spirit realm. This is very important because I need you to understand that everything that happens in your life in the natural realm is following a law of the spirit. Everything, nothing happens illegally. Everything is operating under the legal system of God. Even when we have tsunamis, the Bible says the water returns to its boundaries. It has to go back to its original destination. It has to go back to its original boundary. It has to follow the law of God. It's very important. So laws are being applied in heaven, but they have to be engaged and enforced in the earth. Somebody say laws that exist in heaven have to be enforced in the earth. Now, there are natural laws like the law of gravity that does not need your help. But there are laws that apply to your life that if you're ignorant of them, Satan will expose them in your life. So let's look at this really quickly. John chapter 8, I'm going to give you a few things. We're talking about the blood of Jesus, but I want to show this to you. John chapter 8, somebody say amen when you get there. We're going to drop down to verse 31. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, the Bible says they believed on him. He says, if you continue in my word or my law, then ye are my disciples indeed. Now understand, disciples were not just people who memorized scripture. They were disciplines. Meaning they followed his practices, his teachings. They followed his patterns. This is very important. Because just because you get saved does not make you a disciple. Disciples follow patterns. So he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. That word know means intimate experience. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now watch this. The phrase make you free is one word. The word actually means to make exempt. So he's saying the truth that you know will exempt you from something. If you look up the foundation of the word truth, it means reality. This is why you could go around in the world and people are saying my truth and my truth, this is my truth. That's not reality. I don't care how long you tell a person who is born a male that they're a female, it's not reality. I don't care if it's their truth. That's not truth. So the foundation of that word is reality. So let me explain this to you. He says, if you continue in my law, you will know my reality, and my reality will exempt you from this one. Stay with me. So that means that there are things that Jesus walked in as he walked on the earth that were foreign to us. It was foreign to cast out demons. It was foreign to raise the dead. There were very few accounts of raising the dead in the Old Testament. And even when they did, it seemed like it was a struggle. Elijah was a man who called down fire time after time. But when he went to raise up this boy, he had to stretch himself multiple times on this boy. And it was easy for Jesus. It was so easy for Jesus that when he walks up to the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I'm only praying this for their sake. Because I know you've already heard me." It was so easy for Jesus that when he called Lazarus, if he had not called Lazarus by name, everybody in the grave would have gotten up. This was foreign to us. It was natural to him. It was so natural to him that when he was talking about Lazarus being dead, he had to explain to his disciples because he originally said they're only asleep. Because the perspective of heaven on death is sleep. How do we know this? The Bible says the second death is separation from God. So when God looks at death, he looks at separation. When he looks at natural death, he calls it sleep. Jesus is going to the house of Jairus, and what did he say about the little girl? He said, "I'm going to wake her." Because he has a different perspective. So what he sees is not what they see. And because they see differently, they do not have what he has. Stay with me. So he says, if you continue my word, you'll know this truth. You'll know this reality, and this reality will exempt you. There's a man by the name of John G. Lake. And John G. Lake is burying people on the beach who died from the bubonic plague. And they said to John G. Lake, "You can't be out here because you don't have the proper protection." The CDC of the day came to him and said, "You can't do this." And he said, "I have all the protection I need." And they said, "You have no protection. You're not wearing any garments. You're not wearing anything to protect you from the virus." He said, "The law of the spirit of life in Christ has freed me from the law of sin and death." Now watch what he said. He said, God help me. There, he said, "You are operating under an old law. Because you don't know what I know, you're still subject to Adam. Everything that came with Adam but still belongs to you." He said, "But there is a new law that came through Christ. It's the law of the spirit of life." Can I take you further? Watch this. The Bible says of this, he says, when God breathed into man, he breathed into him the breath of life. That word breath and spirit are the same word. So the breath that entered Adam is the same law that's operating in Christ. It's the law of the breath or the law of the spirit of life that was in Christ. God had to put the law back in a man, send the man to earth to introduce the law back to us because we lost it. Adam could not die until he fell. So because he fell, he lost access to the law of the spirit. It was no longer dwelling on the inside of him. It was what kept him alive for eternity. But because he had to die naturally, God said, "I need to put this law back in a man. And I cannot do it in a sinful man, so I have to do it in a man who has no sin. And there is no man who has no sin, so I have to do it myself." I have to do it myself. So there are things in the spirit realm that have to be enforced. Somebody say they have to be enforced. In other words, if there are promises of God over your life, when the enemy comes to attack, he's not going to inform you there's a promise that exempts you from his attack. He's just going to attack. Because in your ignorance, ignorance in the spirit realm is permission. He does not care that we don't know. I was talking to someone about witchcraft, and they were concerned because the more they heard about witchcraft, the more they concerned they were about how it could attack them. Now, understand this: if you're living in sin, you should be concerned. If you're committed to sin, you should be concerned. When I was in sin, I had demons attack me on my bed. I know y'all don't like telling the truth, but I'm gonna just tell the truth. Because open sin is an open door. It's a dinner bell in the spirit realm. It rings the alarm and says, "My door, my life is open." But the Lord took me to a scripture. Actually, let me show it to you. It's Numbers 23. I need you to see this. Numbers 23, because this is going to take us where we're going. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. Somebody say the blood of Jesus. Numbers 23. I think we're going to, read this in the King James. Numbers 23, I might start at verse 21. Yeah. Let's start at verse 20. Now, the man of God is being entreated by a king to curse Jacob, to curse Israel. And when he is being entreated, this man comes and says, I just need you to issue a curse. Watch this. Why? Because if they are cursed, they're vulnerable. Okay? So verse 20 says, behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He's talking about God. He said, I cannot reverse the blessing that God has put on him. Verse 21, it says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Verse 21, God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. Verse 23, focus here. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. I need you to see what the Bible's saying here. He's saying that Jacob could not be touched by witchcraft. There was no incantation, no sorcery that would work against Jacob. Now we have to ask the question, how did Jacob get to the point where sorcery could not touch him? Well, the Bible just gave us the answer. Go back to verse 21. Talking about God, it says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. So because God did not see iniquity in Jacob, that meant witchcraft had no place to land in his life. So iniquity and sin are vulnerabilities to the spirit realm. And now you understand why hell hates the blood of Jesus. Curses are enforced in the spirit realm. Blessings are enforced in the spirit realm. But how are they enforced? Watch this. When man was in the garden, he could not die until he fell. When he fell, a new law was introduced, not just to him, but to his bloodline. So now iniquity is being carried in his blood. Every person that's born is born into iniquity, born into sin. Shaping in iniquity is what David said. That iniquity gives hell legal license to affect man. But he says there's a person called Jacob that cannot be touched. I said, Lord, how does this apply to me? He said, Psalms 24, verse 6. This is the generation of those that seek your face, even Jacob. The Bible says there is a Jacob generation that seeks the face of God. Meaning when heaven looks down at the people that are seeking God, God calls them Jacob. Look, watch this. When heaven looks at people, there's a people that God looks in the earth and he sees them as Babylon. But there's also a people that heaven looks at and sees them as Jacob. So you can qualify for immunity from witchcraft. Come on, stay with me. So God has a plan for man. This man that he created in his image, this man that gave legal access to the enemy, he says, I have to get this man to a place where he's no longer vulnerable to the curses and the covenants of the enemy. Because understand this, when the enemy catches you in sin, he is, we've been learning at our church that he's trading, but that trading actually brings you into a curse or a covenant. Now the Bible tells us curses expire after so many generations, but covenants don't expire. I said covenants don't expire. So covenants have to be broken. So when God is looking at the legal system and he says man is vulnerable beyond his ability to secure himself. So I have to do something to bring man back to a place where he's no longer vulnerable to all of the curses, all of the sickness, all of the disease, all of the death, all the things that came in through the fall. So he says, I'm going to come myself in flesh. And hell has no idea what God is doing. The Bible says, had they known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you know God in his wisdom used Satan to release the blood of Jesus for you? He had no idea that when he was enjoying the whipping, it was actually his victory that was being poured out over Satan. Watch this. I was sitting here a couple of weeks ago, and I was in worship, and the Lord says, do you want to know the mystery of the blood of Jesus? I said, yes, Father. He said, you need to know this. He said, listen to me, God help me. He said, the mystery of the blood of Jesus is that it provides legal innocence. It provides legal innocence. Well, I said, Lord, I know when the blood of Jesus is applied, it washes our sins away. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, everything that has come into your life in sickness, disease, death, premature death, everything in your bloodline is there because of guilt of sin. The only thing that can make you legally innocent is the blood of Jesus. So when the blood of Jesus is applied to your life in the sight of heaven, hell no longer has a right to make you sick. You have to get this. You have to get this is why John, oh God help me. This is why John G. Lake could have such a revelation of the healing power of Jesus that he could set a city free from sickness and disease. Spokane, Washington became the healthiest city in all of America because he lived there. So God said, you have to understand that the blood of Jesus makes you legally innocent. Because everything Satan is doing in your life, he's doing legally. Watch this. Remember when Jesus is talking to Peter? Peter was feeling good about himself because he just got this revelation, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, man, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Upon this rock, I build my church. The gates of hell will not. He's feeling good about himself. Moments later, he's rebuking Jesus. And Jesus talks to him in a way that most of y'all would have left his church. Jesus looks at one of his disciples and said, get behind me, Satan. Some of y'all would have packed up your bags, took your tithes and offerings and went out the door. But he's teaching him something. He said, your mind is thinking like Satan. And then he says to him, he says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. What is he saying? He said, the Bible literally says, Satan has asked for you. On what basis? On what basis does he have a legal right to ask for you? There was sin that allowed Satan to have a legal right to ask God for Peter. And you thought sickness just came into your life. Nothing just comes. The Bible says a curse causeless shall not land. That means that there must be a place of vulnerability in my life. Now, I know in the church, we don't like to talk about sin because the moment you tell people they're sinful, they go find another church. They sit at home and they flip through channels until they find a message that agrees with them. But the reality is sin is why Satan has access in the church. Some of it came through your bloodline. Some of it came through your practices. But whatever means it is, God made an answer and it's called the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus blotted out the handwriting against you. That means there were laws that you failed to honor that stood as a testimony against you. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That means that the blood of Jesus is in heaven testifying on your behalf against the laws that testify against you. we watch this. So because we have these places in our bloodlines, let me give you a good example. I was talking to my mother. My mother passed away May of last year. Before she died, I was talking to my mother. And I didn't know there were things that were happening in my life, and I didn't know why they were happening. I would have demonic dreams. I had witches coming to me in dreams for months. trying to fight me, some of them trying to have conversation. For months, I didn't understand what was going on. I went from one camp of witches to another camp of witches. I'm warfaring. I don't understand what's going on. I'm having a conversation with my mom. And my mom begins to tell me that when she was a child, they started going to Freemasonry meetings. I wasn't at the meeting, but my bloodline was. I wasn't present, but my bloodline was. So before heaven, there is an accusation that is testifying against me, though I was not present. I heard a man say this. He was talking about prayer, and he said, if you don't show up to the place of prayer, the spirit realm will speak for you in your absence. So here I am wondering why witchcraft thinks it has access to my life. It has access to my life because somebody in my bloodline gave it access. We're wondering, I started seeing patterns of premature death in my life. I feel the Holy Ghost. I got a phone call in 2021. My brother nearly dropped dead. He was rushed to the hospital, on his way to the hospital. He died in the ambulance. I'm praying. And I'm saying, God, I was so shaken because I had never experienced anything like this. I'm praying. I even got on the phone and tried to raise my brother up. He did not come back. My mother died 2 years later. And I'm in my closet upset with God. And God said, you have to deal with the sin in your bloodline. If you don't deal with this altar that was established in your bloodline, it will continue to your children and your children's children. And so there I am in my closet, and it was not me at the meetings, and it was not me that opened up this door, but there I am saying, God, it stops with me. It stops with me. On what basis? On what basis do I have legal right to stop something that we opened the door to? On the basis of the blood of Jesus. Watch this. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became. Watch this. Sin. He did not die in your place. He became your place. He did not die in your place. He died as you. So that you could live as him. So watch this. So the blood of Jesus, this is why hell hates the blood of Jesus. Because it provides a legal exchange. It substitutes Jesus for you when it's time to answer for your failures and for your bloodline. The blood of Jesus, hell hates it. We were at my brother Rowdy's meeting the other night. And the Lord had been dealing with me about this revelation. And my sister Victoria, we're there working with this lady because this lady started manifesting. And the Lord began reminding me of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a weapon against hell. It's a weapon against hell because hell cannot touch what's innocent. You got to get this. I'm going to keep driving this home. This is why Satan is constantly trying to draw you into sin. It's not because that thing is so fun. It's because he needs legal access. He cannot do against you what he wants to do until there is legal access. And what is legal access? Anything I do that partners with his kingdom. You thought it was just a little lie. It was legal access. You thought it was a small addiction. It was legal access. You thought that addiction was not doing anything. It was giving legal access to you and your bloodline. It's legal access. And we have a church that loves God, but is wrestling with warfare that we can't seem to overcome. Sicknesses that we can't seem to break. I feel the Holy Ghost. Attacks that are continuing, and we're watching them go through our bloodline. And we're saying, God, how is it that we love you and we come to church and we serve you, but still I'm seeing this running rampant through my bloodline? And he said, if you don't deal with it according to the law, it will stay in your bloodline. Remember, what you don't see, you cannot have. What you don't have revelation of, you can't enforce. Covenants are sustained on altars. They do not expire. And so, watch this. The stronger covenant and the stronger altar always wins. The stronger altar always wins. This is why if you don't have a prayer life, you will become prey. I know the church has told you that the moment you got saved, the blood of Jesus insulated you from everything, but that's just not true. It became available to insulate you, but you have to enforce it. You have to open up your mouth and declare what his law says. You have to speak in the spirit realm on your behalf. There's nobody that's going to open up their mouth and speak for you unless you have an intercessor that's doing it for you. But until you become your own intercessor, until you build your own altar, until you begin a service. I was in the house the other night, and I was getting up because the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's time for you to pray at night. I said, Lord, I have to get up in the morning at 6 a.m. He said, I need you to pray at night. So I'm going in my prayer closet. I feel the fire of God. I'm going in my prayer closet at midnight, praying till 3 and 4 in the morning, going to sleep for 2 hours, getting up and going to work. And I'm doing this. And my wife was saying, you look tired. I said, I have to service the altar. I have to strengthen my altar. We're going into something. I feel the grace of the Lord to pushing me into something. We're going into a level of warfare that requires a stronger altar. And if I go into it thinking I'm strong enough because of what I have, I'll miss the mark on what God is calling me to do in this next season. He says, strengthen the altar. So I'm in there praying. I'm praying, and he's talking. I'm praying, and he's talking. I'm praying, and he's talking. And he's teaching me how to insulate my life. He's teaching me how to insulate my family. He's teaching me how to begin to build hedges around my family again. Watch this. Let's go to Revelation 12 really quickly here. And I feel like I'm about to wrap this up because I feel the Spirit of God getting ready to move in here. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 10. Say amen when you get there. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. There is an accuser who is speaking day and night. Day and night, the Bible says. He doesn't get tired of accusing you. Why is he accusing you? Because he's trying to gain legal access. And the Bible says he's doing this day and night. And the Bible says, watch this, it says, and they overcame him. How? Wait. The accusation was defeated by blood. I know this seems simple. You have to get this. There are things that are happening in our bloodlines, in our lives, that are happening because when he is accusing, there's no one there to speak for us. We are not enforcing the law that was instituted by the blood of Jesus. I feel this by the Spirit of God. There are some of you, you're going to sleep at night and you're having nightmares. And you think they're just nightmares. They are not nightmares. They're deposits. They're not nightmares. They are the enemy trying to place things in your life. When you go to sleep, that is not just sleep. That is the spirit realm. Hear what I'm telling you. There are things that are happening, and you're an adult, so you don't want to say anything because they're nightmares. But I'm telling you, those are not just nightmares. It's going to break tonight. Amen. It's going to break tonight. These are things the enemy tries to do. I told you guys I was fighting these witches. There was a camp of witches that was coming into my dreams multiple times a week. And they kept trying to steal things from me. And they kept trying to steal my vehicle. Well, you know, in dreams, vehicle means ministry. So they kept trying to steal vehicles from me. And so every time I would get up and I would begin to war, and I said, Lord, I don't understand why this keeps happening. And he said, you got to deal with this by the blood of Jesus. Watch this. So I get up and I begin to war, not on the basis of how good I pray. There is an altar that speaks higher than any other altar. It's called the throne of grace. That altar is where the blood of Jesus was applied in heaven. The Bible says it started an everlasting covenant. It cannot be broken by any other force. There is, watch this, altars are strengthened by sacrifice, and there is no higher sacrifice than the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God. There is no greater sacrifice. God said, I'll come myself and I'll sacrifice my son with innocent blood, the blood of a spotless lamb, and nothing can break that covenant. So I'm not coming on the basis of how good I pray. I'm not coming on the basis of how anointed I am. I'm not coming on the basis of how many scriptures I know. There is a reality and a revelation of the cross of Calvary, the resurrection of Jesus, the enthronement of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus that got victory. The Bible says he made an open show of them. He stripped hell of its powers. And I began to pray. I go to back to sleep after I pray. My truck had been stolen in his dream. My brand new truck. I was hot. Stay with me. So I go back to sleep after I pray. In this dream, I'm looking in a parking garage, and there's a man peering off on the right side, trying to see if he sees me. So I go around the left side, and I see my vehicle. It's not my truck, because oftentimes dreams change as far as the vehicle. It's not my truck. It's like a Lamborghini V12, high-powered. It's sitting on a flatbed in chains. And he's trying to see if he can see me to stop me from finding it. But I found it. If a thief be caught stealing, he has to return sevenfold. But I have news for you. You have to enforce that law. So I'm in the dream. I see my vehicle. I run towards it. I hop up on the flatbed and I jump in the vehicle. The moment the door closes, he turns around because he sees me and he panics, but it's too late. I turn the keys. I hit the gas. The moment I hit the gas, the chains pop off the vehicle. And I fly off the flatbed and I'm gone. And the Lord was showing me that you have recovered that which was stolen. These are not just dreams. This is a realm that is trying, listen to me, is trying to steal graces from you. I used to be so creative. I used to be so driven. I used to be so innovative. What happened to that part of me that used to run after the things of God? What happened to that part of me that used to be so motivated? What happened? I'm telling you, there was a thief. The Bible says, while men slept, an enemy came in. There is a thief that comes in the night on a legal basis trying to steal from you. And your silence is acceptance. I will not be silent. I will not be silent. I will not be silent. You have to be convinced of your innocence. Your innocence is not on the basis of how good you are. It's because blood was spilled for you. Now listen, this is not an excuse to practice sin and keep repenting. This is what the Bible says in 1 John 1. It says, and we all like quoting 1 John 1 and 9. You know, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's true. But go up and read. He says, if we live in the light, as he's in the light, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. There's a prerequisite. He said, live in the light and you'll stay washed. The blood of Jesus will constantly be speaking for you. Now, the spirit of, turn with me really quickly to, God, I don't have time to go. Turn with me really quickly to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103, we're about to pray. We're about to pray. Psalms chapter 103. Watch this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We love that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We love that. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. What happens next? And he heals. Notice forgiveness of iniquities precedes the healing of sicknesses. There are some things that are in our bodies because of what's in our bloodline. Watch this, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Let me tell you this. I was reading the other day about Moses and the people of God leaving Egypt. And I saw something I'd never seen before. The Bible says that God told Moses that I'm gonna come down and I'm gonna move through Egypt. But first, you're gonna go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. He's not gonna listen because I hardened his heart. Not gonna listen to you. But before you do that, I want you to go and borrow gold from people that you're slaves to. And he says, the Bible says they had favor with the Egyptians. Now that doesn't make sense. How do you have favor with slave masters? God was in the process of doing something. So then the Bible says he was going to come into the land and the firstborn was going to be claimed. So he said the only way you escape from what's coming on the land is by putting the blood of a lamb on the doorpost. Watch this. The death angel, we've all called the death angel, is coming to the land. He's not coming to the Egyptians. You got to get this. They're in the land. God says you can be exempted from what everybody else is subject to if you get a revelation of what I'm telling you. Watch this. Another COVID attack can hit America. Do you have to be subject to it? Watch this. He says, if you put the blood on the doorpost, you'll be covered. Then I saw something I'd never seen before. I thought, because the Bible said, God said, I'm going to come down. But then the Bible says, the destroyer will not be able to come into the house where the blood is. He said, the destroyer. God was telling them that my way of protecting you, even my visitation on the land, is moving my hand out of the way of the destroyer. So the only way you're going to be protected is by the blood of Jesus or the blood of the Lamb on your life. Otherwise, the destroyer has access to you. So when the Bible's saying here, he redeems my life from destruction, he's doing so on the basis of innocence. He's doing so on the basis of innocence. That's why the Bible tells us to take communion as often as we do this. Do it in remembrance of him. It's not just an exercise. It's not just a ritual. You are going through the process of reminding yourself and hell, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I've been made innocent. He gave his body. The Bible says he made a new and living way through his flesh. That means that when he died, everything that came in, watch this. The Bible says this. It says that we carry the dying of Jesus in our bodies, that the life of Jesus might be seen in our mortal bodies. That means when his death came into my body, his death destroyed death inside of me. His death destroys death on the inside of me. I wish I had a church that had decided I'm not going to die prematurely. I'm not dying early because my mother did. I'm not dying early because my brother did. I'm not dying early because it's in my family. I'm not taking that sickness because it's in my bloodline. You're not going to give me high blood pressure because I'm black. You're not going to give me diabetes because, listen to me, you're going to have to decide for yourself. You're going to have to decide what law you're going to enforce. Or it will be enforced for you. I carry the dying of Jesus. Why does it say that? Because his death destroyed death. The Bible says through death. He destroyed him that had the power of death. So when I'm carrying it on the inside of me, when death shows up, there's already death there. There's already a death on the inside of me that says you cannot dwell here because the king died. You redeem my life from destruction. I told you we were praying for a lady the other night at this meeting. The demon speaks out of her and says, my name is destroyer. We said, you're coming out. It said, I'm not coming out. I've been here too long. She belongs to me. And that would have been true if not for the blood. He He would have been telling the truth if not for the blood of Jesus. If it not, had not been for an innocent man dying in our place. If it had not been for the blood of Jesus being poured over the mercy seat and crying out in the heavens for us, it would have been true. But because it was every legal right. Every legal right the enemy has to your life is destroyed by the blood of Jesus. He said, my name is Destroyer. He said, you're coming out. You're not going to destroy this one. On what basis can we speak that way? You have to understand your legal rights. It's not, listen to me, you can yell at a demon and say, in the name of Jesus, come out for a long time. If you don't have revelation of your rights, the devil's not going to inform you of them. It's because, bro, are you leaving? Can I pray really quickly for you? Okay, I'm sorry. The Lord told me to pray for you before you left, and I it,